Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. New podcast sponsor, Velo Sports. Take your game and your bat speed to the next level with Velo Sports. With over 10 years of experience in speed training, Velo Sports has released the easiest and fastest way to help all players increase bat speed. Velo Sports is used by MLB organizations and collegiate teams who know that bat speed is a true game changer. Check out Velo's innovative bat speed training system and removable puck knob tech today at www.velosports.com. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. Next up on the ABCA podcast is Savannah Bananas head coach Ty Gillum. Gillum is no stranger to the ABCA, being a 16-year continuous member and moderating our infield hot stove with Clay Cox at the ABCA convention. Gillum has been the head coach of the Bananas since 2018. In his tenure, the Bananas have had over 20 players drafted in the MLB, while also winning back-to-back CPL championships in 2021 and 2022 before going all-in on banana ball. Gillum coached 13 years collegiately, with 11 of those at South Mountain Community College. Gillum was associate head coach and the director of exercise science at South Mountain. Gillum has an infectious personality and a great approach on life. Gillum's personal mission statement of positively impacting a million lives shines through in this episode. We do a deep dive into the Bananas' fan-first approach to entertainment. The Bananas' motto is proving out, with over a million tickets sold and selling out MLB stadiums this year. They just announced their 40-day tour on October 3rd, so get on the waiting list now. Let's welcome Ty Gillum to the podcast.
Sounds good, baby.
All right, welcome Ty Gillum, longtime friend of the ABCA, manager of the Savannah Bananas, 16-year member, moderates our infield hot stove with Clay Cox, was at South Mountain for 11 years, but had 13 years of coaching experience and before heading off to this wonderful adventure. So, Ty, thanks for jumping on with me.
Hey, fired up to see you, man. I'm excited to talk shop with you.
I can't believe I haven't had you on yet. So this is going into year five, and I haven't had you on yet. So I was saving it.
Let's do it, man. It's good timing.
Hey, when did you figure out that putting great energy into the world was better than the alternative?
You know, energy givers is what it's all about. You know, growing up in Ada, Oklahoma, small town, you get a lot of people that are giving. They'll give the shirt off their back. You know, my grandpa was huge on giving back and being in a good mood every day. My grandma did missionary work for 25 years. She built a church camp in Kenya, Africa. And like, I grew up in an environment was that it was all about being a good energy giver and giving back. And so at a young age, I think I had great mentors to show me what that looks like. And I think that's a big part of anybody being successful in life, is bringing good energy and always giving back.
Do you think that's a blend of nature and nurture?
Absolutely, I do. I think it's something you might be born with, but I'm a big component that I think the percentage always weighs into environment. The environment creates who you are. I think you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. And so your networking and the people that you surround yourself with are going to, in multiple ways, impact you and create the best version of yourself.
And I think you're a great example of being your authentic self.
Yeah, man, I am who I am. You know, I'm country. I've got this accent. I'm not the smartest person, but I try to work my butt off every day and show up. And like, this is who I am. I'm not scared to say who I am and what I'm about and what I'm not about. And I think we all should be that way. I don't think we have to hide from anything. It's like, hey, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And hopefully I can impact you in some way and provide some value for everybody I come in contact with.
Did you have to fight that at all growing up? Because I did. Like, I have a lot of friends, but growing up, people were like, you're weird. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be who I am. Like, did you have to fight that at all growing up?
I think we're all trying to figure out who we are as we're growing up, right? I share a story all the time is right now, okay, if you look at the trend in clothing trends, a lot of the baggy jeans are coming back.
And Grunge is back.
Yeah. You know, so like as we're traveling the country, we're seeing all these cities. I was telling my wife the other day, I'm like, hey, baggy jeans are coming back.
Flannel's back.
You know, when I was in sixth grade, we wore JNCO jeans, right? And remind you, I grew up on a farm, on a ranch where my entire dad's side of the family rodeoed. So we all wore Wrangler jeans. There wasn't wearing baggy jeans type of thing, right? So, when I was in sixth grade, I had two pairs of JNCO jeans. They were baggy. They ripped at the bottom. Like it was, so my dad always was like, dude, what are you doing? The great thing about my mom and dad though, is they always kind of let me find my own path and they would give me advice, right? So I didn't have the, hey, you got to do this. You got to do this type of, rearing. I would say I had the, here is everything the world's going to give you, but here's the path and here's some advice. And I would do it differently this way. But if you want to cut your hair like that, go ahead and have that experience. And I think those experiences, good or bad, shape us to who we are. But if we always have somebody telling us you have to wear this, or you have to do this, or you have to do that, I think we get conformed of being all the same. And if you want to stand out, kind of like Jesse Cole, our owner says, he wears a yellow tux every day, is how do you stand out in the crowd? And I think the one percenters in the world aren't like the rest of the other 99 percenters, and that's okay. And I think the world has to be okay with that.
I'm reading a great book by Bret Easton Ellis, was one of my idols growing up, writer. He wrote Lesson Zero and American Psycho, but he wrote a book in 2019, it's called White. It's very good, but he's talking about the exact same thing and how basically now through social media society that they're trying to get everybody to think the same and agree on the same thing. And if you disagree, it's a bad thing. And actually, when we grew up, if you disagreed with somebody, it was okay. And you're still going to be buddies or friends with them, but you may not agree on everything. You're not going to agree on politics, religion, or any of that stuff. But that book talks a lot about being your genuine self and being okay to go against the grain on some things.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about this. With our banana show, one of our main mottos, quotes, principles is whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. And so from a marketing and business side of things, whatever normals do the exact opposite, you get attention. Attention creates a drive of our flywheel of people coming to our games, and then they experience who we are and what we're about. And then everybody leaves and said, this is the most fun I've ever had in a sporting event. And, you know, I wear boots on the field. I've been wearing boots on the field since 2019. Everybody, you know, looks at me like, what's going on? But again, it's, hey, there's nothing wrong with wearing boots on the field. It doesn't affect the game. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's actually a talking point where a lot of people are like, hey, what's your story? And why do you wear number 66? Nobody wears 66. Well, I'm like, that's where I'm from. My family grew up on the Gillum 66 ranch. So that's, I think we all should never forget where we come from. So I wear that number and I wear those boots for my roots of where I came from. So, you know, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite, be yourself. And I think we're better off that way. And I've seen a lot of our players, and this is important, I've seen a lot of our players be better players because we tell them, be yourself inside of us. So be yourself inside of our culture of bringing happiness and joy and impacting other people through the game of banana ball. And so like, man, we've got a couple players that paint their fingernails. Yeah, it's different. Yeah, a lot of people would be like, what's that about? But they're great dudes. They work their butt off. They impact people more than anybody. I don't care if they paint their fingers or not. I don't care what their hair looks like, right? It's more about how do you treat other people, and that's the foundation of it all. Are you treating people the right way? Are you taking care of people? And if you're doing that, you're going to be in a good book by me.
And that was one of my questions about the boots. Like, when did you finally pull the trigger? Because some of your old pictures, you got turfs on still. So when did you that kind of come in your brain where it's like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna strap the boots on for this.
Yeah, so a little bit of the lineage. 2017, Jesse wrote his first book, Find Your Yellow Tux. It was about standing out in the crowd, right? And we moved our games towards that. We moved our organization towards that, right? And it was about going all in on who you are, right? 2018, I became the Bananas head coach, and we would always shoot these music videos, right? We had multiple music videos throughout the year. In 2019, our opening music video was Lil Nas, Old Town Road, and we reenacted that video, and he's riding in on a horse, and we're all in cowboy hats and cowboy boots. And that was, hey, the Bananas are back for the summer, right? In that, Jesse said, hey, what do you think about wearing boots on the field since we just shot that video? And I'm like, dude, I wear boots every day, so like, that's who I am. Let's do it. So that summer, 2019, is when I first started wearing the boots. Now, at that time, we weren't playing banana ball like on the road, right? Banana ball on the road didn't exist until 2021. So at home games in Savannah, I would wear the boots on the field. But when we would go on the road, I'd wear turfs. And so people would actually ask me, why am I not wearing boots on the road? And my response at that time was like, if you want to come to see the real show, you got to come to Savannah. And so that was just kind of the lineage piece of it. And then by the end of the summers, 21, 22, we were on the road for banana ball. And like, I started wearing them full time, and now we just wear them full time.
Hey, y'all put a rock show on. It's pretty, obviously there's a baseball game going on, but it is a rock show that you put on. What sort of routines do you have to kind of help your performance to get ready? Because you guys do this a lot, and I do equate it to rock stars, where you're not always going to feel great, but you still have to put on a great show. So what are some of your pregame routines that kind of help you get in that mode? I think chefs call it mise en place, where they have their food set out, and that routine kind of gets them ready to go out and cook food. I think it's the same thing with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's been fun creating what this looks like, because it's not just the banana ball performance side. We have entertainment side. We have the broadcast. Our broadcast has grown to over 1 million viewers. We've been on a multiple other broadcast networks, True TV, Bally Sports. So we've tested those out. And so there's multiple levels of preparing for a weekend show. And it's very much like a rock concert or a WWE
Broadway performance,
whatever it is. Like it's a big Broadway performance. There's multiple things that we're doing, and so we got to prep for that. So what does that look like? So usually Mondays are off for us because we travel on Mondays coming back home. Tuesdays, we have our group meetings at 1 o'clock. What we'll do is go over where we're going this next weekend, right? So for example, we're playing in the Miami Marlins stadium October 12th. Right. So next Tuesday, we're going to have our group meeting. We're going to say, hey, here is all the Navy SEAL logistics of the stadium, how we're traveling, where we're going, how we're getting there, like the whole from Tuesday to Sunday of what's happening. Right. So we'll go over that with everybody. It usually takes about 45 minutes. Okay. Then from there, we will go into OTTs. So OTT meetings are what we call over the top meetings. That's our idea paloozas. So we have all of our players in the room, and we start talking about our ideas. We start talking about our run celebrations. We talk about how we're going to be our strikeout celebrations, what we're doing before the game, pre-show, post-plaza show. We talk through all of those things, and then those get taken to our entertainment team. Okay, so our entertainment team is in the OTT meetings with us, taking notes. Then entertainment team takes all that information. They go into their own meeting later on Tuesday. It's usually at 4 o'clock. and they say, okay, here's all the ideas. What makes sense for this show or these couple shows, depending on how many we play that weekend. Then they start putting the scripts together of what the entertainment looks like. All right. Wednesday shows up. Usually we start rehearsing. Usually the entertainment team starts sending videos to the players of like, hey, here's going to be your walk-up song. Here's going to be what we're doing on our run celebrations, or if you hit a double or a hit by pitch, right? From there, Thursday, we usually travel. And like in this major league stadium, Friday, we'll have a complete rehearsal of what's about to happen. So Friday, we'll get to the Miami Marlins Stadium in the morning. We'll load in trucks. We got 4 18-wheelers, 45-foot trucks that are loading into the stadium that has merch, entertainment, baseball, all of our gear in it. We unload all of that just like a concert would.
Hey, what's the travel party number for y'all?
Major League Stadium's 240. Minor League Stadiums are around 150. So a lot of people think it's just a baseball team showing up. We have ticket team. We have entertainment team. We have all of our travel logistics. This thing is a big production to put on. It is wild how many people it takes, because our level of care and our level of being fans first and having the ultimate customer experience is so important to us. We could roll into stadiums and just hire only game day staff, but they wouldn't understand our culture. They wouldn't understand our interactions right off the rip in 24 hours. So we bring our entire group, our organization, to these cities to make sure the experience goes exactly like we want. And then on top of those 240 in Miami, we're going to hire 300 game day staff. And then we are going to basically go over everything that it takes to be a part of the Bananas culture, the fans first entertainment culture, right? And so on how it works with the game day staff, they get hired through one of our people department.
It's how we set up like the convention. It's how we set up people that come in and work with us.
So they've got to go through an extensive process, though. They've got to watch videos of what Fans First Entertainment is, how to act, how to respond. It is an extensive process. So anyway, 300 people. Once we arrive on Friday, we do a coach pitch scrimmage on Friday in the stadium. Multiple reasons why we want to do this. One, performance-wise for the players. I want the players to understand what it feels like to catch a ground ball on that turfus. I want everybody to understand, outfielders to understand what it looks like to catch a fly ball in that different venue. I want people to understand the lights, because we'll play under the lights. We need to understand on the broadcast all the shots that we need to hit. So some of the broadcast team are hired to shoot camera-wise that day on Friday for the game on Saturday, but they've never seen a banana ball game. They've never shot a banana ball game. In banana ball games, there's usually about 5 things going on at once, so they have to know where they're going at the right time. Plus, they're doing replays with that. So Friday is a huge rehearsal, not just for baseball and understanding and making sure we are decreasing stress and increasing confidence of the stadium, but it's also for the broadcast team. It's for the entertainment team. It's for everybody to make sure we're going to hit all of our points throughout the entire show on Saturday.
When are you practicing during the week then, too? Around your other meetings, when are you practicing for your team?
Tuesday, Wednesday. So Tuesday, going back to Tuesday, we'll have group meeting for 45 minutes. We'll have OTT meeting for 30 minutes. And then we'll have usually a 2.5-hour, 3-hour practice. Sometimes we practice as a group because it's Bananas Party Animals together. Right. Sometimes we'll split practices and like Party Animals will go in the morning, then we'll group meet, OTT meet, and then Bananas will go in the afternoon. It really just depends on the weekend and what all the situations are, to be honest.
When did Jesse approach you about banana ball? Because this is a college summer league team's going on at this point. Obviously, you're trying to win a Coastal Plains League championship. When did he approach you and said, hey, I'd like to try to implement banana ball?
Yeah, the lineage of that is when me and Jesse jumped on our first Zoom call back in the fall of 2017, he was wearing his yellow tux and he just started wearing it every single day. He went all in on the yellow tux. And so I jump on that call and I see him in the yellow tux and I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, this guy's fired up. He's got good energy. You can tell right away. And in that first call, he said, I want to create the greatest show in sports, and I want to impact the most amount of fans. And at that time, I just set my life goal to have a positive impact on 1 million people, right? So the alignment of what he was trying to do of impact fans, nobody else was really focusing on what that experience was, but Jesse was. And with that, we started looking at all the elements for the fan experience. That's the baseball experience and also what's happening in between innings and also in the stands. Okay. Fast forward to 2018. We play our summer collegiate series, and usually our games are, you know, it's baseball. So it was 3 to 4 hour games, right? We set up a camera that would watch our stands, and our stands would start leaving 6th inning, 7th inning. People were leaving 8th inning, 9th inning. Now there's multiple variables of why that happens. But we were watching people leave, and Jesse's thought all the time was like, when you go to a concert, you don't leave until the concert's over, right? There's an encore, right? When you go to a movie, you don't leave before the movie's over. Baseball should be like that. We want everybody to stay to see the finale. And there was other multiple things that we thought could really just make the game of baseball a little bit better on viewership. So Jesse started brainstorming, and he came up with the original banana ball rules. And at the end of our summer in 2018, this room that I'm in right now, this is called the Stadium Club. Okay. This is one of our special event areas. Okay. The Stadium Club, we set right here. And there was a whiteboard on that wall, and we came up with the original banana ball rules in that moment. And the rules were to make the game faster, more entertaining, and more impactful for the fan. And so that was the origination of, hey, we need to do something outside of summer baseball. And I think it's banana ball. And originally it wasn't called banana ball. We didn't know what we were calling it. We were throwing a bunch of names around, show ball and like a bunch of other things. And then it started filtering to banana ball. Okay. That was 2018. The fall of 2018, we went to Lander University. We played the first ever banana ball game. It was 99 minutes. The fastest strikeout was 12 seconds. There was 3 girlfriends in the stands doing homework, and they stopped doing homework and they started watching what was happening, and they were entertained. And so we watched that. There were scouts in the stands, and they were like, what is happening? The guy that struck out the hitter in 12 seconds, he's now in the White Sox organization's big lefty. So anyway, after that Lander game, we got them all up on the mound, and we said, what do you guys think? And they said, hey, this was the most fun I've ever had playing the game. It was fast. It was entertaining. We had fun. And so we were like, okay, I think we're on to something. Fast forward 2019, 2020, we start evolving and playing the game a little bit more. We would play, basically have scrimmages with our summer guys of playing banana ball. And we were just figuring it out. We were starting and we were figuring it out, and we were adjusting roles as we went. 2020 hits, COVID hits. We're one of the only summer teams in the country playing. Okay. We figured out how to play for 6 weeks. And with that, we needed to find more teams to play. And we had a ton of college kids in Savannah. And so what we did is we created the Party Animals brand, and we put all those summer collegiate, those other kids in Savannah on that Party Animals team. And we started playing banana ball again and playing more games, right? That summer 2020, when we weren't in the Coastal Plains League because the league wasn't going on and we had no rules, was really a springboard into having the confidence to take the show on the road. And that's what we did in 2021. We did the One City World Tour. We've always got some negative comments of, why do you call it a world tour if you're not going? Because we've got big visions. We're authentic. We don't care what everybody else thinks, from the fact of we see something in the future, and that's where we're going. Eventually, we're going to be on a world tour where we're going to hit all the continents, and we joke about going to the moon. But we called it the One City World Tour because it's all about vision. You got to tell your people as a leader where we're going in the future and what this looks like to make sure they're inspired. So we did the One City World Tour, Mobile, Alabama, 2 games. Hank Aaron Stadium, sold them out. It was great. Everybody loved it. That gave us the courage to go into 2021, continue playing, and then build for the 7-city world tour in 2022. Okay. So stay with me here. We went 7 cities. It was in the spring of 2022. Okay. At that time, I was still coaching at South Mountain Community College. Okay. So I couldn't leave South Mountain and go coach that 7-city world tour. And so we were like, okay, who's going to be the head coach of this team? Who's going to lead this team? And we threw around a bunch of names, and Eric Burns' name came up, right? And Burns with his
he fits the profile.
Right. And so we convinced Burns. Burns was all in. He's like, I love what you guys are doing. We hired Burns to coach the 7-city world tour in 2022.
Because he was doing his Ironman challenge stuff at that point too, right?
Yeah, he's done all kinds of the
– That kind of coincided where you started to see him. He was doing his fundraising stuff with the Ironmans, but then it was just really good timing with all of that lining up with everything.
No doubt. And so he comes in, he coaches that tour. ESPN does the Banana Land feature, which is on Hulu and ESPN Plus. And so they film that. Also at that time, okay, if you go back to what we do marketing wise and social media, and we put everything out there, 2020, we started our TikTok account. From January 2022 to April of 2022, we gained 3 million followers. So that 7-city world tour just took off for us. We were selling out, we sold out 16 games. Social media went crazy. And in April of 2022, Jesse called me and he goes, hey, are you watching all these things that are happening with, we're selling out every single game. Fans are loving Banana Ball. And dude, this game's going to take off. Have you seen our social media? And I go, I know TikTok is going wild right now. And like everybody's following and like this thing is wild. He said, I think we need to leave the CPL because there's just this huge demand on Banana Ball. And I was like, I think you're right. As much as I love summer baseball, as much as I love coaching college baseball and coaching college players, Banana Ball there's so much demand. We've got to go all in. We got to quit holding back because we don't like confusing fans either. So this is what happened, Ryan. That summer, 2022, which was our last summer, we finish up our 7-city world tour. We go into Summer Ball. Okay. In Summer Ball, we weren't basically allowed to say we were going to go all in on Banana Ball yet. And so with that, we would go on the road to play all of our opponents. We would go to Macon, Wilmington, Forest City, every city that we would go to play on the road in summer baseball, not Banana Ball, summer collegiate baseball, every single game sold out. We sold out every single game. Because people thought the show was coming on the road. They thought Banana Ball was coming on the road. And the funny thing was this, was we would have 30 kids on the fence watching us play catch, and they would all run up to me and go, hey, is Stilts going to pitch tonight? And I'm like, no. Nathan Detmer's going to pitch, though, and he's from Texas A&M. He throws 96, and he's going to be in the top 5 rounds this next year. And he's probably going to be a big leaguer. He's pretty good if you want to stay and watch him. They'd be like, oh, Stilts isn't here. And I'm like, no, Stilts isn't here. And so that's what happened through that. That was our like kind of blending stage. But also what was happening with fans is they would show up in Savannah in the summer and they thought Banana Ball was happening. And they would come from all over the country. And they would be like, oh, man, I thought I was watching Banana Ball. So that was the trajectory. And then at the end of the summer of 2022, we won the CPL championship. So we went back-to-back CPL championships. We had multiple other guys drafted with the Banana Summer Collegiate guys. We had over 30 guys drafted in the 6 years that we played. And after that, we finished dogpiled. And then the next week we went all in on Banana Ball, and that led into our 33-city tour. And then this year was 6 major league stadiums. And this
which
next
the
year
major league stadium one was a phenomenal idea because they only have 81 home dates. And you can only have so many rock concerts in those stadiums. So they're looking for ways to fill those stadiums outside when the team's not there.
Yeah, the great thing is like we've packed all of those out. Last year we had 2 million fans on the wait list. And so when we announced the schedule, like we're announcing the schedule here October 3rd, this schedule is going to be crazy for 2025. But when we announced the schedule, the wait list shut down our computers, actually. And then when we announced tickets, they all sold out. So every one of our games on this tour in 2024 has been sold out. And we have 2 million people on the wait list currently right now. And it's not slowing down. I can promise you that. People are loving Banana Bowl.
Hey, whose idea was it to let the fans catch a ball and get an out?
Yeah, that was Jesse. So, our company is Fans First Entertainment, right? So everything we do filters through the question, is this fans first? And so how can we get the fans involved in the game? So we've had over 100 fans catch a foul ball for an out. When it happens in a game, we bring them on the field. We announce them on the field. So that's like a highlight. I mean, we played in the Cleveland Guardians Stadium about a month ago, and there was a 71-year-old man sitting behind home plate, and he caught a foul ball to end the game, and we brought him on the field down with us to celebrate. So, like, it's electric. You should see how many grown men bring gloves to the game. It's pretty funny.
Hey, how much individual coaching are you doing with the players?
Yeah, a lot. So we have three coaches on each team, right? Practice looks like a normal baseball practice timing wise, right? We do team defense, we do individual defense, we throw bullpens, we hit BP, all of those things. The difference is how we train for Banana Bowl. So as an infield guy and being on the infield hot stove so many years at ABCA, everybody's heard of my daily vitamins package of what it looks like for infielders to do your short hop progressions and your catch play. We've taken that to the next level because in Banana Bowl, we do trick plays. And we've done over 1,000 trick plays on this tour. Our shortstop, Ryan Cox, he's done over 200 trick plays. Our second baseman's done over 100. And our center fielder, D.R. Meadows, is right on the cusp of hitting 100 trick plays. And so what that looks like in our practices is we never catch I would say this. 90% of our ground balls in practice are all trick plays, and a trick play is something outside of the norm. And so our transitions after catch are like behind the back or between the legs or spin moves. All of those are built into our trick play package for daily vitamins. We got outfielders doing backflip catches that lead into our team defense or BP. Pitchers wise, we want pitchers throwing a pitch every 5 seconds. And so we practice on like 2-pitch sequences, 3-pitch sequences. So we want to work really, really fast. The fastest inning in Banana Bowl is 46 seconds. Yep, the fastest strikeout is 8.7 seconds. So if you can visualize that, a pitcher is literally catching and throwing. And if you know the Banana Bowl rules, hitters can't step out. So you got to stay in the box and just be locked in and compete. And so that's what it looks like. So, yes, we are training differently. And all of us coaches are practicing and getting into it. The other things that differentiate what we do is we have cameras on our guys the whole time. We're filming content. We're creating content. And we're also sometimes doing rehearsals or interviews on the side. We might be learning a dance while we're hitting BP at the same time. So instead of having – I'll say this. Here's some of our groups for BP. You would have your on-field hitting group. You'd have your cage group. You'd have two shag live shag groups, and then you might have an interview station, or you might have a like a TikTok station or a social media station, depending on what the day is and what the needs are, what the focus is of that day.
Do you guys deal with many injuries? I mean, you're not playing as many games, but I think does that probably help a little bit? I know the travel schedule's nuts, but probably helps a little bit to stay away from injuries because you're not playing as many games.
Yeah, our schedule and load management is different than anything else, right? So we're not playing every day. We are traveling, though, so we're flying usually 2 days a week, right? So we'll fly on a Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly on a Monday. So the travel's a lot. Sometimes we bus if it's under 8 hours. 8 to 10 hours is usually our window of busing. And so we haven't had a ton of injuries. We've had a few just like anybody else. Usually the majority of our injuries we've seen just like everybody else's is during that spring training, coming off of the off season, going back into training. So it's not been crazy though. We had a hamate injury the other day, and those are kind of freak injuries too, you know, so the injuries are pretty low. I'll say this from the pitching side of things, the Bananas guys like Noah Nisnik, he's one of our starting pitchers. He usually only goes four innings, and so his pitch count's usually only 70 pitches. Now, our games, intensity-wise, and if you look at, like, calorie expenditure, our guys are running, giving roses to girls, and like, little girls and grandmas in the stands, and then they're running back down, then they're doing a dance, and then they're pitching, and, like, they're coming back. So, like, the energy expenditure is different. The game moves a lot faster, so your cardio base needs to be better. Right. And so training looks a little bit different. We do have a heavier cardio training component to it. But like the stress of what our pitchers are asked to do, like pitch count wise, is very, very low. So,
And shocker, your guys are fit and have good cardio. So there's not as many injuries. Shocker.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse talks a lot about being willing to make mistakes. How freeing is that for you to have a boss that's like, okay, let's try stuff. It's okay to make mistakes.
I think in every organization, there needs to be that trust, because I think everybody can operate freely and make the best decisions. And I think you can make the best decisions in that environment, the best creative decisions. A lot of times, I think in businesses, as businesses scale, everybody gets afraid to screw up. And so they just play it safe. The reason why the Bananas exist is because we've always never played it safe. We've always broken the rules. We've always done it different than everybody else. And so for the leader at the top to operate that way, I think is very, very important. And then how it filters down to me is it allows our guys, our players on the field, to like not be scared to do trick plays. We tell our guys our goal is to rip as many trick plays as possible. Our goal is to get as good as we possibly can, because the best highlight film is bases loaded, two outs, game is on the line, and our center fielder does a backflip catch to end the game. And everybody's like, dude, that is unbelievable. I can't believe that just happened. That's what we want our fans' emotional response to be, is I can't believe I just saw this on the field. I can't believe this just happened. And if we do that, banana ball is going to the moon, because fans are going to enjoy that. So we test 15 to 20 new things every single game, every single show, right? That is who we are. That is the foundation. If we quit doing that, we'll quit being who we are. So really it's, hey, what are we doing new and what are we learning? Because when you're testing, you're learning. The problem is, majority of time in life, people want to play it safe and they want to wait till the perfect time and they want to make sure everything's right. Okay. And then I'll do it. But if you look at high successful people in any field, it's more about speed. Hey, we just need to try and we're going to learn, and it's not going to be pretty. And you got to be able to be willing to take that. And you got to be willing to take what the critics are going to say too. And that's probably what I admire about Jesse and Emily Cole, our owners, more than anything, is they come up with ideas every single day. They take care of their people, but along the way, they've trusted their gut to be fans first in everything that they do. They show it every single day, even though there's been a ton of critics along the way. And that started with
baseball traditionalists. It's not baseball. Like there's so much BS and noise out there with it.
The critics piece of it is, you know, kind of going back to that Theodore Roosevelt quote, man in the arena. Anytime you do something new, you're going to take the most bullets. You're going to take the most critics. And especially in the social media world. So if I have any advice for anybody, is be your authentic self, do what you think is best. And if you put people, like we do our customers, our fans, and we talk about being fans first. If you put people first and you make those decisions along the way, people will start taking care of you, and the money side and all that, that'll take care of itself. We literally never talk about money. We talk about what is the best fan experience. We do that, and everything else takes care of itself. And
hey, is food and drink still all you can eat with the ticket?
In Banana Land.
I figured that was one of my questions, because I was like, are they doing that with Major League Baseball stadiums too?
No. So here's how it works. In Banana Land in Savannah, we have our general admission ticket. This tour was $35, all you can eat, open seating. Okay. So you come in, you get hot dogs, hamburgers, drinks, all cookies, chips. You get all of this stuff for free. Okay. And then you get to sit wherever you want. Okay. So that's what we'll always do here in Banana Land. In the Major League stadiums, all these other stadiums, how it works with our partnership is we get tickets and merch, and they get food and bev. Okay. And so every city we go to, it's a win-win. We look for win-wins in all of these situations.
That's a win-win. That's a win for you guys. It's a win for them too.
Yeah, because when we knew it was a win for them is after every single game in every single city, every operations team in those cities, they say, we just broke the food and bev record. We just broke the food and bev record in every city. So it's a win for them. And it's fun, and they get to see an inside of what's our culture. And so it's been great making those networking and partnerships.
Would you go back and change your audition video at all?
I wouldn't, because that's who I was in that moment. And the funny thing is I actually sent them a video of me and Toys R Us with a Ninja Turtle helmet on. It's actually social media page on Instagram and TikTok of like, just me being myself. And I was shooting videos when we were in the Texas Collegiate League with Clay Cox and Kurt Dixon of like kind of showing our day-to-day stuff. So it was what I was doing before. It's who I was. And, you know, in that original video, I told Jesse exactly what I was passionate about. I want to develop men and I want to dogpile at the end of the summer. And he said, I want to create the greatest show in sports, and I want to sell out every single game and create the greatest fan experience. And in that first Zoom call, we said, can we collaborate those things and create the best summer experience in summer collegiate baseball? And we did that. We sold out every single game dating back to 2016. And then we dogpiled the last two summers in the CPL league. And then when we went all in on Banana Ball, and now we've created this ultimate greatest show experience through the game of Banana Ball.
Do you want to preview the schedule release coming out October 3rd?
Yeah, so this thing's going to be a behemoth. It's going to be 2 million fans. That's 1 million fans more than we had on this tour. It's going to be 40 cities. We're going to 18 major league stadiums. And the crazy thing is we're going to play in some of the biggest stadiums in the country. We're going to 3 football stadiums, 2 NFL stadiums. It's going to be absolutely electric. And what people really are going to buy into is not just the entertainment side, but the competitive side of what Banana Ball is. When traditional baseball people come to our games, they see what it is. They say, hey, there's really good baseball on the field. We've got great pitchers. We've got hitters hitting balls 450 feet. We've got players doing trick plays, backflip catches. And they say, hey, the product on the field is really good. Then the music never stops. And then they look around to their families, and their families are grinning ear to ear, and they see their best friends dancing who don't usually dance. They sing, they're singing, they don't usually sing. And then those people leave and say, this was the most fun that I've ever had. And then those traditional baseball guys go, you know what? I get it. I get what this is about. It's not baseball, and we're not trying to be baseball. We're trying to be the best version of baseball and entertainment combined to create this never forget moment experience for families. And so they can leave and say, man, that was a life changing emotional experience. You'll see people that laugh, sing, dance, cry. Man, I can't tell you how many stories that have, we literally have people that fly from around the country to come to every one of our games and work our merch stands. They're like, I just want to be a part of this. We've had people say this.
Like the Grateful Dead.
Exactly. Dave Matthews, all of those types of scenarios. these people tell stories that they literally say they're crying in our banana plaza. So after the games, we have our party plaza. It lasts for 45 minutes. We take pictures. We have our band playing. Fans come up to us crying and literally say, "Banana Ball saved my life. I was going through a tough time," and they tell their story of going through a tough time, and they say, "When I show up in Banana Land, I can't help but be happy." And if you think about what we're ultimately trying to do in life outside of sports, is to create this happiness and joy experience for everybody in our group, to live a happy and impactful life. And that's what it's all about. And we're doing that through the game of Banana Ball. But the biggest announcement that I'm excited about is we are going to have a Banana Ball League starting in 2026. That is going to be a game changer, because people that want standings, they want championships, they want to see dog piles, they're going to see it, and they're also going to see the entertainment. So it's going to be the best of everything, all involved in one, that's going to start in 2026. And at that time, we're probably going to have 4 to 6 teams. We're going to announce our new team, the Tailgaters. They are going to be electric. People are going to love this brand. It's going to be the best pregame show in sports. We're going to have some country music going on. We've got some surprise in store. And so when this schedule is out right now, get on that lottery list, sign up for these games. You don't want to miss these shows, because I can promise in 2025, it's going to be a life-changing experience for people to come to these shows through the game of Banana Ball in multiple ways. So I'm excited to see everybody on tour.
And I give you a lot of credit, because you still come to the convention. I know you're really busy. You still run the infield hot stove. So I do appreciate you for that, because you and Clay take a lot of pressure off me with getting that set up. So I do appreciate you still coming back, because you are extremely busy. So I appreciate you doing it.
Man, thank you for always having me. You know, infield, and I'll say this, baseball has given me so much in life. And I feel like I'm always indebted to the game of baseball, because if it wasn't for baseball, I literally would probably be in jail or dead. And so I always feel like I'm in debt. And so to be able to do the infield hot stove, which is my truest passion of baseball, that's my niche, is talking infield play, and to be able to connect with as many infield coaches as we do at the ABCA, it's special. The networking at ABCA is unlike anybody else. My whole story that I tell all young coaches is, I don't care what you do in life, you can't miss the ABCA, because your future employer is going to be there to hire you. And the networking to do anything that I've ever done happened, first started at ABCA. So if you think you don't have enough money to go to ABCA, you better sell your clothes, your computer. You better do whatever you need to do. Hitchhike. You better be in Washington, D.C. at ABCA. Can't miss event. 7,000 plus coaches. And like, it's literally changed my life. So thank you for always having me back. I love it. And if there's anybody that I can always help, please reach out.
Would you take anything back to South Mountain with you?
What do you mean?
Now that you've done what you're doing as long as you have, would you take anything back? If you had to go back and coach JUCO, would you take anything back with you?
Yeah, I mean, 1,000%. I literally think college organizations, college teams right now need to come in and see what we're doing from the fan experience, because we're talking about revenue. Revenue's not going away. NIL's not going away. So there's some things that we do that can increase those NIL numbers, that can increase coaches getting paid. And it's all about that fan experience. And there are coaches that have reached out that I've done some consulting with, and I've done some speaking engagements with, that I share everything that we do. So I've flown in, I've given speeches, I've done consulting of like, hey, this is what Banana Land looks like. And you don't have to do Banana Ball. You can do all of these other experiences that impact fans, and then you start getting in more revenue, and that's going to impact your entire university and college and impact people. It all comes back to impacting people. So if you're at a JUCO, it's how you run camps. It's how you connect with your community inside the university or college to get them to come. And you can all do these things, but it all starts about thinking outside of the box. And it starts with giving and having opportunities for people. And if you give to start off with, you'll receive in the back. And so like, it's all about giving up front. And we've got those models that I can share if anybody wants to reach out and do some consulting or speaking engagements or whatever. I would love to do those in the future.
All right, you have to answer this question because everybody has to. So your fail forward moment, something you thought was going to set you back but helped you move forward.
Honestly, nobody knows this. I'm sharing some stuff. Like, nobody knows that originally when I was 24 years old, I got married. And 6 months later, I got divorced. I moved to Phoenix, Arizona with myself and my first wife. And it didn't work out. We were too young. We didn't have a vision of where we were going to go. And the grind of me working 16 hours a day and what she was doing, there's a whole story behind that. But it didn't work out. And
honestly, though, it did work out. Like, that's a thing. At that point in your life, yep, it didn't work out. But you look back now, like, that was supposed to happen.
It was. And I didn't want to be divorced. Just so everybody knows, like, I try to do everything not to be divorced, right? And do everything right. And so, like, she was just on a different path. And my vision was to be the best coach that I could possibly be. And there's sacrifices that need to be made along that way. We were poor. We had no money. I was literally pinching pennies together and working 16 hours a day, trying to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and ramen noodles every single day. So there's a lot of young coaches going through that. What I will say is there is a quote that goes something along the lines of sometimes the worst thing in life that people think happen ends up being the best thing in your life. Because if that didn't happen, I promise I wouldn't be part of the Bananas. I wouldn't have coached summer baseball and I wouldn't have met the true love of my life, Danielle Gillum, and have Camden Dean Gillum, my 4-year-old, and be doing what we're doing and impacting people. And that led me to my big vision goal right now, trying to have a positive impact on 1 million people. The fail forward moment was understanding that for my health and the better version of myself, that I had to make a tough change. And that's okay. And a lot of people need to do those, make those tough changes in the future. So that's me being vulnerable and authentic. And a lot of people don't know that, but it absolutely led me to the love of my life, Danielle Gillum, who is the rock star. And now we've got Camden, who is 4 years old, running around, seeing major league stadiums all over the world.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that was like my next question is like, how cool is that, that you kind of get to bring them along? Because coaching in college is different. Like, you can bring them sometimes coaching college, but they don't want to do – this is a way more entertaining road trip for them than it would be South Mountain going to play Phoenix College or somewhere down in Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix College, South Mountain, still awesome. Still love it. Yeah, still love it. I mean, it's still competitive, baby. So, yeah, it's different. You know, the coolest moment for me, there's a video that I have on my TikTok and Instagram, and we're in the Houston Stadium, which was our first major league stadium, the Astros Stadium. And it's Friday, it's rehearsal day, and I'm in full uniform about to do rehearsals, and Camden comes from the stands and comes running at me. I'm about to start crying thinking about it. And he runs up, gives me a big hug, and like we kind of look at the entire stadium. And I'll never forget that moment. It's like, hey, you know, this thing is absolutely happening. We're creating something that's never been done, and we've got big vision goals, and we're actually – those things are coming true. And another moment was we do – in the eighth inning, we do a traditional – we call it yellow, where everybody in the stadium pulls out their phones and has their – flashlights on, and we sing the Coldplay song Yellow. And I got to bring Camden on the field with me in Cleveland, and we got to do the flashlight together and see all of that. I mean, there's not very many things that are cooler than that, to have your son be able to experience a major league stadium multiple major league stadiums and to feel that, you know, him hanging out in clubhouse at major league clubhouses is normal now, you know, so that life is wild. I can't explain it. He's been on over 50 flights. You know, there's some people that have never flown. This dude's 4 years old. He's been on 50 flights. You know, it's crazy.
By the way, you and I still eat peanut butter and jelly. Because you were on video last week eating peanut butter and jelly. I ate peanut butter and jelly yesterday. So I think we still have our peanut butter and jelly roots.
That's right.
You and I have not forgotten where we've come from. Because it's
no, everybody in JUCO that's talking about those Sac Nasties, they ain't bad. They're not
great.
Bad. Yeah.
Still
a little bit of tough.
Great source. It's got everything you need. Carbs, healthy fat, protein. It's got everything that you need. Hey, what are some final thoughts before I let you go? I know you got a big day coming up here, so I appreciate you making time for me.
Yeah, I'll say this. Banana Ball's growing. We're adding teams. We're adding players. We're adding op staff. We're adding coaches. I'm absolutely about to put out job interviews for coaches and op staff here in the next week. I'm going to put that on the ABCA on the ABCA website as well. If you are interested in coaching Banana Ball, being part of baseball operations, please reach out to me, DM me, email me. If you are a professional baseball player, either a minor leaguer leaving professional ball, if you're part of indie baseball, if you are leaving college, graduating, and you think Banana Ball is for you, reach out to us right now, this week. When this podcast goes out, we're going to be traveling to four cities, Phoenix, LA, Kansas City, and Dallas. We're going to be doing our private workouts for Banana Ball. We're looking for the most talented and entertaining players in the world to make a positive impact on the world. And so if that sounds something you want to be a part of, we need some awesome high-level energy givers that can make a positive impact. And we're growing and we're growing fast. So look out for those job posts. Don't wait. Send me a video. Call me. Text me. And let's chat, because we're growing and we're growing fast. And we need some awesome people to join us in the future.
Ty, thanks for your time, man. You always get my juices going. So we are kindred spirits. So I appreciate you, my friend.
Heck yeah, brother. I love you. Thanks for having me on, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to see you at ABCA. And if I can help anybody out there, please don't hesitate to reach out. I appreciate you having me on, Ryan.
I couldn't be happier for Ty and all the rewards he's reaping after grinding away at the college level for a long time. Brings great energy to every room he walks into, and you always walk away from your interactions with him having full battery. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Zach Hale, Matt West, and Antonio Walker in the ABCA office for all the help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email, rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at @CoachB_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you. In the world, keeps on turning.